Chapter number 6, Galatia, Wyoming. And the name of the town escapes me, but it's just a little ways north of the center of the state. It's a little church in a little town. It's out in the middle of nowhere, in my opinion. But anyway, when I was first starting to preach in Salt Lake City, the pastor of that church was going to go on a trip, and he called the pastor of my church, and he said, hey, I need someone to fill in for me. And the pastor of my church came to me and said, guess what? You're preaching a week from Sunday in Wyoming. And that scared me to death. I hadn't preached very much, and I wanted a really good message. You know, the good news is, folks, the Bible's the truth. It is true whether you believe it or not. It's true whether you hear it or not. It's true whether you pay attention to it or not. And so I picked this passage that I'm going to show you tonight in Galatians chapter 6 as something that I thought, this is something every Christian can use, young and old, backslidden or walking right along with God, whatever it might be. And I remember, instead of driving up there and spending the night, what I wanted to do is not have to spend the night in Wyoming. And so I got up Sunday morning at about 4 o'clock and got dressed and got in my car. And I was pretty tired driving to Wyoming. And I remember about an hour outside of that little town, I came over a hill. And this is on a highway. Nothing but sheep. Roads covered in sheep for as far as you could see. What on earth? Probably by 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, you're tired and there's a road full of sheep. And I guess they figured it's a good time to move the sheep down the road. And so, praise the Lord, I stopped in time. But I got to the church and we preached this message. And to this day, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible because it's just a real simple, it's got a promise, it's got a warning, and both of them are equally powerful. You know, there are some things that the Bible says, if you'll do this, then God will always do that. You know what? Think of some of those. There are promises that say, if you'll do this, God will do that. And here's the promise in Galatians chapter 6. It says in verse 9, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing. In well-doing, we'll talk about that in a minute. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Have you ever done something and it just didn't seem like it did any good? About a month ago, I love to go to Food City to buy produce. Any of you shop at Food City? Oh, I like Food City. They've got the one over here on 99th and Thomas, I believe it is. They've got a beautifully clean, huge produce department. Cucumbers, what, 5 for a dollar? You know, and I love cucumbers and gazpacho. Anybody here know what gazpacho is? No gazpacho eaters, huh? All right, I'll teach you about that later. It's a cold cucumber soup. But anyway, got a little tomatoes in it and some onion and... So I went in there, we bought a bunch of cucumbers and stuff and took them back to the house. And when you cut up a cucumber, do you seed it? You ever seeded a cucumber? Y'all are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Do you people eat food, okay, right? Who knows how to seed a cucumber? Oh, whew, okay. So I thought to myself, you know, it's a shame. A third of this cucumber is going in the trash can, right? But they're terrible to eat. I know what I'll do. I'll plant these rascals and grow and see if they'll grow. I wouldn't have got to maturity, but just see if they'll grow. So I went to the garage and I found a pot and I found some soil and I put it in there and I got it all ready and I scraped the seeds into the pot and buried them and watered them faithfully for about 2 weeks. Save yourself the trouble. They didn't grow. I don't know why. Maybe they need to dry out first. Maybe some other catch I'm not familiar with. Maybe they got harvested too soon. I don't know. But I didn't get any cucumbers. I never got any nothing. No leaves, nothing. I was wasting my time. There are things we do in life that are a waste of time, aren't they? But listen to me. When you walk with God, when you seek to please God when you do well in God's eyes. It's not a waste. You understand that? I mean, look at the promise. He says it right there. He says in verse 9, he says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. He says very clearly in verse 7, he says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now don't tune out. I've already lost some of the young people. They're gone to the fence. But if you ask yourself this question honestly, it will change the way you live your life. What are you sowing? What are you planting in your life right now? What seed are you laying out in your life right now that you're expecting to reproduce? You hear me? Something. A lot of people. I had a young man in my youth group back in Utah, and he was very, very interested in his health and his physical exercise, and he'd do push-ups and pull-ups, and he had a well-defined arms from doing weightlifting and so on. And we'd go on youth trips, and the host would serve cereal, and he'd say, can I have bananas, or can I have sprouts, or can I have something, you know, something healthy? And he took good care of himself, and you could see it. He had sown to that kind of a life, and it's good to take care of your body, by the way, amen? It is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And it's good to take care of your body, and you could see he was reaping that. I've known people that sowed with the idea of reaping financially. I've known some people that have. You know, you look at a politician; they start out maybe as a city councilman, then they grow up. Before you know it, they're running for governor. They've dedicated parts of their life to that, hoping it would increase. What are you sowing? Amen. Are you sowing something that's going to produce eternal fruit? What did you do today, this week, this month, that's going to have results in eternity? If you witnessed to somebody and they got saved, that's pretty good stuff, amen, because that's eternal fruit. But if you sent a missionary, I got the letter from the Love Groves this week, and I think you'll enjoy hearing it. And they're pretty excited about some things happening there, and in a very challenging place. Ethiopia is not an easy mission field. And if you give money to missions to send the Love Groves to Ethiopia, you're sowing, and there's going to be eternal rewards. Amen? What are you sowing? What decisions have you made today, this week, this month, that are going to produce eternal rewards, eternal fruit that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ? So let me just show you some things here in this chapter. There's a lot more than we have time for. I'm only going to take about 10 or 15 minutes. We'll go quickly. But crops come in many forms. There are crops that farmers grow. There are crops that people grow. I had an uncle, and he used to plant cotton. And he would go out at the end of the harvest, and he'd harvest bale after bale after bale of cotton. You get what you planted, right? So in your life, what you're sowing, if you're sowing to the flesh, we'll talk about that in a minute, then that's what you're going to reap. If you're sowing to the Spirit, that's what you're going to reap. And again, it says very plainly, this will happen. It says, whatsoever a man soweth, in verse 7, that shall he also reap. Churches and families and individuals have spiritual crops. Our church has some kind of a crop, some kind of a harvest that our church, and we should see that on an ongoing basis, and then we'll see it in eternity. What's your latest crop? Have you seen any crops lately? Was it a big one or a small one? I thought VBS was good this year. We had some harvest there, didn't we? And we sowed and we sowed and we sowed, and then we saw a harvest, and we're going to keep doing that kind of thing and more of it. What are you planting right now that's going to produce a crop later? Sowing is an act of doing something that produces a harvest, that produces a result later on. So you could ask these questions. What are we sowing? To what are we sowing is another way to say that, to the flesh or to the Spirit. Are we growing weary? We'll talk about that in a second if we have time. And are we taking advantage of the opportunities that God gives us? There are some things that can prevent a good harvest, but folks, you're going to reap whatever you've sown. So let's look at two or three of these here. We won't be long. Give me about 10 minutes, but stay with me if you would, please. First of all, here's the simple question. What is it that stops godly harvest, that stops having a godly crop? I think of people that I've known over the years, and one of the ones that always comes to my mind when I think about this is Nelson Dorr. And Nelson Dorr, missionary to Navajo, Mexico, and I know his life story pretty well. He was a church pastor in New Mexico for a long time. And at the time he started going to Mexico, and he's driving back and forth every week, hundreds of miles. And then God called him down there, and I've heard his stories of how he got started. If you went down there now and saw his church, you'd think, how did they do this? They have bus after bus after bus after bus. Because many of them they own, some they rent. They come rolling in Sunday morning. They're full of people. Their church building, maybe twice the size of ours, perhaps, maybe not that big, full. People standing around, people in the wings on both sides, hundreds and hundreds of people. They see people baptized all the time. Their baptistry, they still have a hole in the ground, or they make a concrete one, I can't remember. For a long time, their baptistry was a hole in the ground with a tarp in it. And dig a hole, put a tarp in it, fill it with water, and baptize. And then I think they finally, I can't remember how it looks, but they built one out of cement. They see souls saved. They've got churches that have been started in that area. I could go on and on and on. That's a good crop. Amen? If you've been giving to missions, that crop's partly your crop. But what would stop that kind of thing? What would keep someone? Nelson Dorr has done the same thing you and I can do. He's been faithful and just kept on sowing and kept on sowing and kept on sowing. And what's the promise? What does it say right here? In due season. That means at the right time. We might reap? No, it says we shall reap. Amen. That's pretty good to have guaranteed return. We shall reap. And we'll talk about the faint thing again here in just a minute. So here are the things that can stop a godly crop. We won't be long. Stay with me. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19 describes something that the Bible calls the works of the flesh. Now, he says right here in Galatians chapter 6 in verse 8. Are you there with me, everybody, in verse 8? He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That is not a good crop. You heard this sad, sad story. You know, on July 4th, that young man in the outskirts of Chicago got a high-powered rifle and killed a bunch of people at a parade. But that idea didn't pop into his mind that morning. That idea had been developing. And the cause of that idea had been developing. That was not an overnight decision. You don't understand, even as a saved person, how wicked you can get when you let the devil have his way. And somewhere way back when, something happened that started that process, and ultimately that young man killed. The saddest thing that I saw was the picture on TV. There was a couple, a married couple, and they had a toddler in a stroller. And both of them were shot and killed. And that little baby is going to grow up, and someone's going to ask that baby time and time again, where are your parents? Where are your parents? Where are your parents? Well, we were at a parade on the 4th of July in 2022, and someone killed them. I never knew them. I was too little to know who they are. Folks, that's what sin brings. You say, oh, I'm going to dabble with a little bit of sin here. I think I'll get a little closer to sin. There might be some pleasure in it. There might be some things. My flesh would really like to have some things, and if I gave that to my flesh, I'd be happy. You are toying with sin. And sin is as bad as you can imagine and that much worse. The works of the flesh, he talks about in Galatians chapter 5. We won't read the whole list, but just things like uncleanness, lasciviousness, witchcraft, hatred, variance, wrath, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. And he describes what the flesh is. The Bible's got a lot to say about the flesh, more than I have time to mention. John says it profits nothing. Romans says nothing good dwells in it. Romans also says it serves sin. Romans says it brings condemnation when we walk in it. If we walk in it, we oppose God's Spirit. Ephesians says it's the source of lust and evil desires. Galatians tells us that it lusts against the Spirit. It's opposed to the Spirit. You know, we all know our flesh real well, don't we? We know what the flesh likes. It doesn't like to work. It's scared to witness. It doesn't like to take time to pray and read the Bible. It sure does enjoy having a good time, and it never is satisfied. If I did this, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. If you cater to the flesh, you'll never get there. You can give it anything you want. It's like, without telling the long version of the story, Carnegie, you've heard of Carnegie, the rich man that was a steel magnate back in the early 1900s. He became a multimillionaire. He was young. And he said, you know, I've spent my whole life making money. I think I'll just stop and enjoy myself. Didn't even last a couple of years. And he said, nope, I want to make more money. And he spent the rest of his life trying to get more money because you never have enough money. You say, well, if I had this, if I had that, if I owned this, if I did that, no, you cannot satisfy the flesh. Because whatever you give it, it'll say, that was nice, I want more. That was nice, I want more. And whatever you do to feed the flesh, the Bible says if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. When you think about corruption, think about a rotting body. That's what it is a dead body decaying. So there's a kind of sowing that's going to reap corruption, sowing to the flesh. Oh, if I did this, I'd have a good time. Oh, if I did this, I'd be happy, and so on. And then there's a kind of sowing which is to the Spirit in verse 8. And he says, that kind of sowing will reap life everlasting. Here's the simple question. Is the decision that you made going to cause you to get closer to God or farther from God? Is the decision that you made going to cause more people to be saved or fewer people to be saved? Is the decision that you made going to satisfy the flesh or deny the flesh? Those are the two choices, flesh or spirit. Take your pick. And he says very plainly, he says, whichever one you sow to, you're going to get a certain result. You're going to get corruption if you sow to the flesh. You get a life everlasting when you sow to the Spirit. So there's a sowing that's the wrong kind of sowing. That won't produce a good crop. If you plant weeds in your life, you're going to get weeds. If you plant tares and thorns, you're going to get tares and thorns. If you don't plant anything, I think the devil will plant some things for you, and it won't turn out good. But this is not meant to be just a negative message. It's a positive one as well. If you plant the right things, folks, praise God. God will reward that multiplied. That's the great thing about sowing. I was reading in the Bible today about sowing and reaping, and one particular prophet in the Old Testament, he said, yeah, this one man, he sowed, and he received 100-fold. You ever take a one corn seed? Not very big, is it? You ever seen how big an ear of corn is? Ever how many seeds there are, seen how many there are in an ear of corn, or how many ears of corn there are in one corn plant? That's multiplied production. Amen. That's what God can do. When you sow a little bit, God can turn it into a lot. So there's a right and a wrong kind of sowing. Now I'm going to go fast from here. Three things that stop godly crops: sowing the wrong things. Secondly, sowing that ceases. And look at verse 9, and he says it very plainly. And there's a command here. Now, with me in verse 9, Galatians 6, 9. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Read those next four words with me. If we faint not. If we faint not. Now, he says, it's possible to faint. And you know some people that fainted. If you thought about it, they started out right. They were in the right place doing the right thing. And then they thought, well, I'm sure tired of that. I think I'll do something else. If I was thinking about this today, this is not something that he says, well, this is going to be difficult. You've got to be careful. He said, no. Don't be weary in well-doing. It's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. If I took you out to, I don't know, some field out here in the country, and I said, you know, in this field, there are gold nuggets on the ground. And they're everywhere. And here's a bucket. And they're worth about $100 a piece. Here's your bucket. Here's the field. Enjoy. And you'd go out there and you'd be picking up gold nuggets thinking 100, 200, 300, 400. The bucket would get a little heavy after a while. 10,000, 10,100, 20,000. And if I came to you at about 10 in the morning and said, well, you got a bucket almost half full there. Are you tired of picking up nuggets? No, I want some more, amen? I mean, there is a fatigue that's involved, but this is great. Let's pick up some more nuggets. And if I came to you at 4 or 5 in the afternoon and I said, oh, you ready to quit? No, there's nuggets everywhere. I'm going to get some more. You see, what happens is when you see the value in what you're doing, it keeps you going, doesn't it? Amen? The reason people faint and quit and go back to the world or go back to worldly things or stop serving God, or they don't see the value in it. It's a lack of faith. You lost touch with God somewhere. You lost your fellowship. You quit reading your Bible. You quit believing. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you stop realizing. You know, you're going to get to heaven, and the Bible says if you gave somebody a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, you're going to get rewarded for it. That's pretty easy. Can you imagine folks that go faithfully soul winning, folks that faithfully give to missions, folks that faithfully teach Sunday school, folks that faithfully work the bus ministry, folks that just faithfully read their Bible and pray and serve God, folks that are faithful in the Christian school and so on. Those folks, they've got huge rewards. You believe that? Someone says, well, you know, I think I got enough rewards, Pastor. I'm just going to take the rest of my life and goof off. Now you lost sight of the beauty and the wonder and the glory of what God's given you and I the opportunity to serve Him with our whole life. Amen? And then, here we go. If you faint not, He says in verse 9, we shall reap. I knew a lot of kids, I call them kids, young people when I was in college. I went to school, I started college in 1975, and I crammed 4 years into nine. I graduated in 84. It was engineering school. It wasn't the easiest thing, and so nobody finished in 4 years, hardly. Five wasn't unusual. Nine, that's a little carried away there. But, you know, if I had quit at the end of 7 years, I wouldn't have got a degree. You don't get the reward until you finish the course. If you go and you run a race, and it's a 10-mile race, and you run 9 miles, you say, well, Pastor, I ran 9 miles. Yeah, I know, the finish line was at the 10th mile. You get nothing. I'm not going to say God's quite that extreme, but I will say this. If you won't quit, the reward's going to be much greater than if you back off too soon. What can stop godly crops? Sowing the wrong things, ceasing too soon, and then real quick, and we're done. Look at verse 10. As we have, therefore, opportunity, and he picks a particular opportunity here. He says, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, let's just talk about that word opportunity for a minute. And you know what he calls the opportunity? All men. Amen? It grieves me when I was in college that I went to a public high school, and I graduated, and I went off to college, and I quit going to church. And I met a bunch of people, and I still see some of them now and then on Facebook. And some of them never got saved. And some of them that knew me the way I was living when I was in college would say, he wasn't a Christian. I was backslidden. Praise the Lord, I got that right. And praise the Lord, now and then I see those guys, and some of them are saved. I worked for a guy in a radio shop when I was a senior in high school named Rick. And he had a radio shop. And I post things about God, and I post things about the Bible, you know, and he comes back, and he's on board now. He's saved. I had no idea that fellow had any interest in God, and sadly at that time I didn't either. But praise the Lord, he got saved. But sadly, and we probably need to be very careful about this, there may be some people in our life that never got saved because they never saw Christ in us. if I'm living in the flesh, and if I'm serving the flesh, and I'm using godly or godless language, and I look and dress and act and talk like the world, people think, you must be part of the world. And the Bible says of Christians to come out and be separate, amen? The point is, there are opportunities out there. You get them, I get them. They come in the form of men, people you come across. And if we take those opportunities, we can see some good fruit. If we don't take those opportunities, we're going to miss out on the reaping that we could have. He says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are the household of faith. Our deeds are like seeds, folks. Our deeds, the things that we do, are going to produce something. Our decisions are going to cause a result. If we sow the wrong thing, we're going to reap what we sow. Hosea 8:7, you've heard this verse. There are some people that had done wickedly, and the Bible says they have sown the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. You know, when you sow good, when you sow the gospel, when you sow prayer, and when you sow in faith, and when you sow pleasing God, when you sow in the spirit, not in the flesh, it multiplies. Praise the Lord. Have you ever seen a dandelion? I'm talking about? Used to have them all over Maryland. And at the right time of year, in the spring, those little rascals, they've got a little ball on them, about that big around. And it looks like a snowball, kind of. And how many of you have done this? You pick it up and blow? What is that? Every one of those little things is a seed. And about a month later, I'm in my front yard digging out weed after weed after weed after weed from one dandelion. They were talking about, what was it? Oh, there is a tortoise that is a problem. And these tortoises, the tortoise, a little slow turtle, can produce 800 offspring in one lifetime. They live to be about 80 years old. Little things become big things. Some decision that you made, a little decision to walk away from God. Be careful, it could get very big. Amen? Oh, but some little decision you made to walk towards God, that can get big too. Amen? It's our choice. Whatsoever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. So stopping godly crops, sowing the wrong thing, stopping too soon, not sowing when opportunity comes. Good news, and I'm done. It's not too late to change crops. Had a yard in Maryland, and I tried and tried and tried to get the grass to grow, and I finally got sick of it. And I went down to the church and got the rototiller and just rototilled the whole thing. And then I sprayed it with Roundup. It was dead. And I planted a new seed. Yard looked pretty good. It's not too late to change crops, is it? Amen? You make a decision. I'm going to go towards God. I'm going to forsake the flesh. I'm going to forsake the world. I'm going to walk away from the devil. I'm not going to please his crowd. I'm not going to look like his crowd, talk like his crowd, act like his crowd. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. That's changing crops. It's not too late. It's not too late to plant a spiritual crop. But one day it will be. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. No more planting then. That's when you get to see what you get to harvest. Amen? Let's stand, if you would, please, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed.